ברוכים הבאים רבותיי. Welcome to a special edition of our Thursday night class. We are officially 1 week away from Purim. Chag HaPurim שיבוא עלינו לטובה. This Shabbat is Shabbat Zachor, which arguably is the most important Shabbat of the year to be in synagogue in order to hear the Sefer Torah, which is indeed a mitzvah aseh min haTorah. Even the woman should try to make it their business to be in the Bet Knesset Shabbat in order to hear Zachor, if possible. So tonight we'll direct our talk towards the Parashat Zachor and Chag HaPurim. Moshe Rabbeinu prays after the Jewish people worship the golden calf. He prays the Yud Gimel Midot. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rahum V'Hanun, Erech Apai V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Noser Chesed Adafim, Noser Avon, etc. Hachamim tell us that the Yag Midot have great power. The 13 attributes of mercy of God, when they're mentioned, they're able to take Borei Olam and take him off his chair of judgment and put him on his chair of mercy. The Jewish people were in trouble. God vowed to destroy them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Moshe Rabbeinu says the Yag Midot, he says, Salachti. Well, eventually he forgives them. But that was Moshe Rabbeinu's, at least his original tefillah. And everybody knows the last of the Yag Midot is Venakeh. Venakeh, and God forgives. God cleans us. But the people don't continue reading the Pasuk. It doesn't end at the word Venakeh. The Pasuk says, Venakeh, lo yenakeh. That means sometimes God forgives, and sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes Venakeh, and sometimes lo yenakeh. Sometimes the sin is so great that it cannot be erased. Fine. Poked avon avot al banim, v'al b'nei banim, al shenishim v'al rebi'im. Then the Pasuk says, God is poked avon avot. God remembers the sins of the fathers. And He remembers them on the children. He remembers them on the grandchildren. He remembers them on the third generation. He remembers them on the fourth generation. I thought we're in the pasuk that's talking about the attributes of mercy. Where is the mercy that God remembers the sins of the father on the child? That you're telling me the child and the grandchild, even four generations, has to bear the brunt of the sin of its ancestors? Where's the mercy in this? Where's the justice in this? It's not enough that a person has to be responsible for his own actions, but now he has to take responsibility for somebody that committed a sin before he was even conceived. His great-great-grandfather. But the Pasuk says, Poked Avon Avot. Al banim ve'al b'nei banim, al shilishim ve'al rebi'im. And I don't understand, what is this language, shilishim rebi'im? Third generation, fourth generation. Just tell me, to the fourth generation. You have to count it for me? When the Pasuk says, Noser chesed la'alafim, God carries the mitzvot for 2,000 generations. Does it count the generations for me? Does it say, Nosir Chesed, Le-Me'ah, Le-Matayim, Le-Shlosh-Me'ot, Arba-Me'ot, Amesh-Me'ot, Jez, La-Lafim? Why, when it comes to Poked, Avon, Avot, Al-Banim, all of a sudden it counts it to me. Banim, Bene-Banim, Shilishim, Rebi'im, 3, 4. This needs to be understood properly. We go to the Megillah. Ish Yehudi aya b'Shushan Abira, u'shmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimei ben Kish. Ish Yemini.
Torah introduces to us the hero of Megillat Esther. Torah says, oh, Ish Yehudi. Okay, he was Jewish. Ish Yehudi. I hope he was Jewish. Shmo Mordechai. Mordechai, we know that. Who's his father? Ben Yair. Also Ben Shim'i. Ben Shim'i. So on this, the Hachamim talk. Who's this Shim'i? They say, that's actually Shim'i ben Gera. Let's review the Navi for a second. David HaMelech was running away from his son Avshalom. Avshalom wanted to kill him. Avshalom took his father's concubines and he ousted his father from the seat of kingdom, and David was on the run. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Beborcho mepenei Avshalom beno, Hashem marabu sarai. David HaMelech said, worse what happened to him than Gog Magog, that his own son came to kill him and usurp him. And as he was running away, some other enemies that David had joined the bandwagon. One of his old enemies was a fellow called Shim'i ben Gera. So Shim'i saw that David was vulnerable. He saw it was a moment that he could capitalize on. David was on the down. So the pasuk says the Shim'i went in front of David and he cursed him. But not stama curse. Oh. Kilalan nimretzet. The Gemara says, what is kilalan nimretzet? He called them every name in the book. Nimretzet is Rashi Tevot. Noefu, Moredu, Rotseyahu, Tzorerhu, To'evahu. Wow. Not stomach curse. He gave him a real, full-fledged, every name you can say, he's the king of Israel. So the Navi says that right away Yoav ben Tseruya, David's general, and Yoav's brother Avishai, right away told David, we'll get rid of him. We'll kill him on the spot. He's a Mored b'malchut. What does David HaMelech say? I'll read it inside. Vayomer David el Avishai. David tells Avishai. Ve'el kol abadav. Ine beni asher yatsa me'ai mevakeshet nafshi. Ve'af ki ata ben haymini. Ani olo v'ikalel. Ki amar lo Adonai. What does this mean? Simple interpretation, David HaMelech was saying, Rabotai, look what's going on over here. This is not a natural story. My son is trying to kill me. What do you expect from my natural enemy, Shim'i? If my own son is trying to kill me, you expect anything more than from my natural enemy, Shim'i ben Gera? It's an old nemesis. The Lashon of the Pasuk, Hine beni, asher yatsa mime'ai, my own son that came out of my loins, mevakeshet nafshi, wants to kill me. Ve'afki ata ben haymini, this guy Shim'i ben Gera was from the tribe of Binyamin. He says, don't give him so much credit. David HaMelech said, Hanichu lo, leave him alone. You know why? Because this whole story doesn't make sense. It must be orchestrated from above. It's not strange that my son wants to kill me. The whole thing is illogical. Ela must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding this whole episode. And therefore he tells him, leave him alone. There's a deeper interpretation to this pasuk. Rabotai, I didn't come to talk about this tonight. This is just leading me to the main course. This is just some starters, some hors d'oeuvres, appetizers as they call it, till we get to the main Sa'udah. I have no choice. Mordechai ben Yair ben Shim'i. I want to get to Kish. It says ben Yair ben Shim'i ben Kish. That's what I want to talk about. But I cannot skip over Shim'i. Open up the Targum on that Pasuk. I have a copy of the Targum over here. If I have a copy, it'll be a lucky night. The Targum on that Pasuk says the following. Ben Shim'i. Who Shim'i? This is the Shim'i. The Akal Yad David. That cursed David. Uba'a Yoav Lemiktele. And Yoav wanted to kill him. Velo Shavkeh. David did not let. You know why? Al de istakal be beruach nevuah, because he looked in prophecy. The hama de atmuse Mordechai ve Esther le mefak mine. He saw that Mordechai and Esther are going to descend from Shimei. These are two great tzaddikim. So therefore, he said, if we kill Shimei, there's no Purim. There's no costumes, there's no drinking, there's no hamantashen, there's no nothing. We have school. So therefore he said, oh, although Shimei's guilty, but I can't kill Shimei, not for him. I can't kill him for what's in his stomach. He has two diamonds. V'chadu pasak Shimei melemelad. Once already Shimei perpetuated himself, Pakad David leShlomo bere. David would tell his son Shlomo leMiktal yate. Okay, now he could kill him. Once already, he continued to perpetuate his progeny. So now already Mordechai and Esther could come into the world. We have no use for Shimei anymore. What a story! So this was calculated. David HaMelech was very wise at that moment. He said, we have to be smart. We cannot act on an impulse. Of course, the natural reaction is, he's a Morid B'Malchut, he's a rebel. Of course, we have to lynch him. But they said, no, you cannot do that. Leave him alone. Why? I have information you don't know about. That's why I explained once, when they introduce Mordechai, how do they introduce him? Ish Yehudi. I asked you, I know he's Jewish. Now, who's Ish Yehudi? The man from Yehuda. Who's the man from Yehuda? David. Ish Yehudi, because of the Ish Yehudi, because of David HaMelech, Haya b'Shushan HaBira, there was a man in Shushan HaBira, Ushma Mordechai. The Ish Yehudi was responsible. Because if the Ish Yehudi, David, would have killed Shimei, there's no Mordechai in Shushan. Therefore, David gets an honorable mention in Megillat Esther. If somebody would ask you, where's David HaMelech's name mentioned in Megillat Esther? You tell him, Ish Yehudi. I saw in the Sefer Shemin Rosh, he explains this pasuk that I just read to you a little different. Vayomer David el Avishai, David tells Avishai, Hine beni asher yatsa mime'ai mevakeshet nafshi. He says, the son that will descend from me will take care of me. Referring to Shlomo, he was telling, calm down, don't worry. Let's put this on hold. Hine bini asher yatsa mime'ai, the son that came out of me already. Meaning Shlomo. Mevakeshet nafshi. He'll settle the score for my nefesh, for what happened here today. Ve'af ki ata, but now, what am I concerned about? Ben haimini. Who's ben haimini? Mordechai, ben Yair, ben Shimi, ben Kish, Ish, Yemini. Now I'm worried about the Yemini. I can't kill him. Ve'ata ben Haimini. I have to worry about Mordechai. He's not born yet. Therefore, ani ulo. My son will take care of him. That's a beautiful interpretation. Ben Yair, ben Shimei, ben Kish. Mazir Kish. So Kish is the father of Shaul. Shaul ben Kish. That means Mordechai was a direct descendant of Shaul HaMelech. And it's well known, the Gemara says it, that Shaul had one major sin in his life. That's this week's Haftarah. He was commissioned to kill Amalek. And when he came back from the war, he came back with all the animals. Shaul figured they'll bring them as a sacrifice. And he came back with the biggest of all animals, Agag himself. Shmuel sees the animals, he can't believe it. He tells Shaul, Umeh kolason. Nachamim say, Umeh, what's the meh? I hear the baying of the sheep. What is the sheep over here? He says, no, I brought it from Amalek as a korban. God needs your korban. We told you to kill all these people. Kill everything. Do not leave anything. And who's that? Oh, that's Agag. Agag. That's the Ace of Spades. You brought the Ace of Spades back. He's the kingpin. For whatever reason Shaul had, and the Gemara in Yoma Daf Chav Bet explains that he had a logic. It wasn't stam rebelling. He had a halachic analysis, albeit it wasn't accepted. At that point over there, Shaul eventually says, Hatati. Shmuel says, too late. Too late for Hatati. Your sin already is unforgivable at this point. And God says to Shmuel, Nihamti, Ki imlachti et Shaul. I regret that Shaul is the king of Israel, and he gets released. He loses his kingship at that point. Of course, everybody knows, the next day, Agag was killed. He was killed by Shmuel. Shmuel tore him into pieces. And I know some of you are thinking, so what's the difference? So instead of killing him on Monday, they killed him on Tuesday. What's the difference? But you don't know what happened on Monday night. That's the difference, Monday night. Monday night, the Midrash says that Agag, who was the last survivor, that means he was an endangered species. He's the only survivor left to the Amalek. That night he was able to put his seed in a maidservant. So although he was torn up the next day, but Amalek perpetuated. Amalek would now have a second life. And eventually, Amalek would grow, and Haman, his 10 sons, that's all the result of that mistake of Shaul. Says the rabbi called Al-Sheikh, Shaul needed a tikkun. He needed to fix that sin. So what happened? Came Mordechai, a tzaddik, and he went and waged the war against Amalek, and he killed Haman, had Haman killed, of course, and he had Haman's sons killed, all through his prayers and his orchestration. And therefore, that war that Mordechai fought against Amalek was a tikkun for his great-grandfather. And then, in the middle of the war, what does Mordechai announce? He says, Rabotai, nobody touched the spoils. And I ask you, why not? In the rules of war, to the victor goes the spoils. What do you think? If they beat us, they weren't going to take our wallets? What do you mean? If they would have beat us in the war, they wouldn't have taken our jewelry, they wouldn't have taken our gold? Of course they would. That's the rules of war. And now all of a sudden you tell me that Mordechai makes a new rule. Rabotai, if we win, don't take a red penny. Why not? And the Pasuk says, they listen. Ubabizah lo shal'u et yadam. They didn't touch the spoils. Says the rabbi. You know why? Because he knew he had to make a tikkun for his great-grandfather. And what was the avon of Shaul? He took the spoils. So to fix Shaul, you can't touch anything. If you take the words ubabiza, lo shalhu et, it's Rashid Tevot Shaul. Ubabiza is a vav. Lo is a lambid. Shalhu is a sheen. Et is an aleph. Ubabiza, lo shalhu et, Shaul. That's tikkun. Oh, very good. So the pasuk says, Mordechai ben Yair ben Shim'i. I told you the story of Shim'i already. Ben Kish. The Torah says, Shaul ben Kish. Mordechai's direct descendant. And his story was the tikkun of his great-grandfather. After the story is over, Esther Malka goes to the rabbis. Gemara Megillah Daf Zayin. Listen to the amazing story. Esther goes to the rabbis, and she says to them, Shalha lahem Esther lahachamim. She went to the rabbinical council. Kav'uni ledorot. I want you to establish Purim as a holiday for the generations. Of course, the first year everybody celebrated Purim, but that was spontaneous. It was a reaction to the miracle that happened. Achamim said yes. Esther said, "I want this to be a yearly holiday." Kavuni ladorot. What did the rabbis answer back? Kinaat meoreret alenu lebena umot. You're going to arouse the hatred of the Goyim. If the Goyim see that we're celebrating every year Purim, they're going to say, oh, look at the Jews. They're reveling in our downfall. They're happy that they killed 75,000 Amalekim. We'll get these Jews. So the rabbi said, we're scared. It's going to arouse anti-Semitism. What does Esther answer back? Shalhalahem. What are you talking? Anyway, the story of Purim is chronicled already in the history books of Paras Umadai. They know the story already. It's written in the books. So what was she answering, basically? I'm not too sure what she was answering. It sounds like she was answering, they know the story already. It's in the history books. First of all, I'm not too sure if they have the same story that we have. History is Rashi Tevot, his story, depending how you write it. You know, I know the story of Megillat Esther, that's Ruach HaKodesh, but I don't know how the Persians and the Medes wrote the story. Maybe when I went to Egypt once, and I was coming from the airport to Giza, and as we're going to the airport, the tour guide said, and here's the museum of the Six-Day War. I said, the museum of the Six-Day War? And what do you have in there, dead bodies? What do you have in the museum? What are you showing over there? The engines of burnt planes? They said, what are you talking about? She looks at me with a straight face. She says, what are you talking about? We won the war. In Egypt, in the history books, in Sifre Misraim, they're telling their kids that it was a great victory for them. So I'm not sure when Esther comes along and tells the Hachamim, what do you mean? It's written in Paras Umadai. Who knows what they wrote? And by the way, even if they wrote the accurate story, the fact that we're reveling and celebrating, it's still going to arouse anti-Semitism, even if they know the story. But don't stick it in their face. That's what the rabbis were saying. But it seems they agreed to our claim. And they said, okay, we'll make a holiday. And then she pushes the envelope. The Gemara says, she comes to the Achamim and says, Shalha lahem Esther l'Achamim, katvuni ledorot. Now I want you to take the book of Esther and I want you to annex it to the Tanakh. I want Megillat Esther not to be stama igeret, the story. I wanted to have a status of Tanakh, put it one of the 24 books. Katvuni ledorot.
Wow.
They answer back, Shalhu la, halo katavti licha shalishim. They quote a pasuk in Mishle. The pasuk in Mishle says, halo katavti licha shalishim.
Shlomo HaMelech gave a wisdom. He said, the story of Amalek is written 3 times.
Shalishim velo rebi'im.
The Gemara says, it can be written only 3 times and not 4 times.
Where's the 3 times?
1 time it's written in Parashat Beshalach, in Sefer Shemot. 1 time it's written in Zachor, we're going to read it on Shabbat, Kitetzeh, in Devarim. And the 3rd time, where is it written? In Shemuel HaNavi. We just read the story of Shaul and Agag. So they say back, we cannot write it a 4th time. Shlomo HaMelech already said, I wrote you 3 times.
Halo katavti lecha shalishim.
So the Gemara says, shalishim v'lo rebi'im. That's what the rabbi's answer. She has an answer, Esther. What does she answer back? She says, the rabbis analyzed it, they came up with an answer. Ketuv Torah, it says in the Torah, Ketov Zod Zikaron Basefer. Talking about Amalek, it says, Ketov Zod, write this story. Ketov Zod Zikaron is a memory in the book. So the rabbis say, Ketov Zod, that's the story written in Sefer Shemot and Sefer Devarim. That's the Bible episode. Ketov Zod Zikaron, that's the story of the Navi. Basefer, that's Megillat Esther. So they found the pasuk in the Torah to allow them to write a 4th episode of Amalek. You understand so far the Gemara? So everybody's happy. We have Purim and we have Megillat Esther. There's a great rabbi called Hatam Sofer. Hatam Sofer says that Megillat Esther is the 4th book that talks about Amalek. Book number 1, Sefer Shemot. Book number 2, Sefer Devarim. Book number 3, Sefer Shemuel, Shaul and Agag. Book number 4, Megillat Esther. So he says, no coincidence. Because the name of the galut that we were in is called Paras u'Madai. And he says, if you take the 6 letters, Paras and Madai, and you boggle them, Paras Madai is the same exact letters as the 2 words, Dalid Sefarim. To hint to you that this story, as a result of Paras and Madai, would be written in 4 books. And that's what he says Esther meant. When the rabbi said, it's going to cause anti-Semitism. She says, what are you talking? Don't you understand? This galut is called Paras Madai. Obviously, God wants this. There's a remez in the names of the galuyot. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be written, wants it to be publicized. And therefore, if that's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing bad will come out of it. Dalet Sefarim. What happens? This is in parentheses what I'm telling you now. Nobody's writing anything anyway, but it's still in parentheses. Remez. The next day when Shmuel kills Agag. I'm jumping back to the other story. The pasuk says, Vayshasef. He tore him apart. Look at Rashi over there. Rashi goes out of his way to say, Vayshasef. He tore him up into 4 pieces. Arba halakim. What do you have to know this for? Who cares how many pieces, if he filleted him, if he sliced him in half?
The main thing is he killed him. I don't care if he sliced him into eight slices of a pizza pie. As long as you killed him, what do I care how much he filleted him, how much he diced him? And she says, Arbah Halakim. Remez. He's giving a remez as a result of this story, which is the third story of Amalek. Now there's going to be a fourth story. Because now somebody's going to have to come and fix this. This mess that took place over here with Agag surviving an extra night, that's story number three. So Shmuel gave a remez, he cut him into four parts, hinting that there's going to be a fourth recollection. And that's the story of Megillat Esther. If that's the case, Rabotai, say Hadush now. You see, you know what it means, Poked Avon Avot Al Banim? You know what it means that God remembers the sins of the father, of the parent on the child? Not necessarily that the child gets punished for what his father did, but it's actually divine mercy that God says to the father, I'm going to remember that sin on the child so he'll be able to rectify it for you. That the sin will be considered fixable even through your children and your grandchildren. That they'll be able to make a tikkun. That's a big chesed. That even after a person leaves this world, and not everybody leaves clean, and the pasuk says, sometimes v'nakeh, but other times lo yinakeh. Sometimes the sin is not going to be clean, but don't worry, poked avon. I'm going to take that avon, avot, al banim, that they were able to fix it for you. Ba'al b'nei banim. And what's the proof? Al shilishim ve'al rebe'im. Because look what happened in the story of the third episode of Amalek and the fourth episode. The third episode was Shaul and the fourth episode was Mordechai, and the shilishim made a mistake and the rebe'im fixed it. Al shilishim ve'al rebe'im is exactly the lashon in the Gemara. The pasuk is giving a proof that how do I know that the child can fix the father? G4 fix G3. Oh, so that's a tremendous chesed. Chesed abore. How does it work? Mehmet, how does it work? Stam, the mechanics. How does a child fix his father's sin, his grandfather's sin, his great-grandfather's sin? How does it work? I'll tell you the mechanics. The Gemara Nida says there's three partners in the creation. There's the father, the mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And each one gives a certain part to the composition of the child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the neshama. That's the most important. Elokai neshama shenadata b'teora. The mother gives the flesh, and the father gives the bones. Which means that in every child, there's a piece of the mother, and there's a piece of the father in the child. The father gave the child the bones. That means there's a piece of him in the son. So even after he goes out, as he checked out, he's in Olam Haba, but he's still there because his atzamot are still there in the child. And therefore, when the son makes the tikkun, it's the father's tikkun. You understand what I'm saying? I'll prove it to you. That the father is in the son. You remember when Yaakov Avinu told Yosef, Al na tikberini b'mitzrayim. He said, I don't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Okay, Dad, where do you want to be buried? In the family plot. I want to go to Hebron. Kvartani b'kburatam. I want to be buried with the tzaddikim in Hebron. No problem. What does Yosef answer his father?
Vayomar, Anochi Easeh Kedvarecha. That I will do as you say. Simple interpretation. Why don't you look at what the Gemara says on that? The Gemara says on that, Vayomar, Yosef's talking, Anochi, Dad, Anochi Easeh Kedvarecha. I'm also going to do like you said. You know, I also want to be buried in Israel. Anochi Easeh Kedvarecha. And I'm asking a simple question. Who's talking about you? Who's talking about Yosef? His father's saying, I'm not thinking about him. Hey, great idea. You know what? Me too. What is me too? You want to be buried in Israel? Be buried in Israel. That's the answer your father? How did you learn that? Anochi Easeh Kedvarecha. What they're doing to you, they're going to do to me also. Explanation is, when he saw how much his father wants to be buried in Israel, he said, Dad, not only am I going to bury you in Israel, but since my bones are from you, I'm going to bury myself also in Eretz Yisrael, because that's you burying in Israel. That's you also. He added to the Kibud Abraham. He said, I see how much you don't want any of your limbs to be in Chutz La'aretz. Anochi Easeh Kedvarecha. I'm going to have myself buried, not because I'm selfish. For you, for your sake. Because my bones are yours. That's why he told his brothers, Ve'alitem et atzmotai. He specifically said, atzmotai. Make sure you take my bones, because that's a yan of kibud av ba'em. Kibud av. Because the father gives the bones. Oh. So that's the way it works. Even after a father is in Shamayim after how many years, and he left a son that's obviously Shomer Torah Mitzvot, he's able to benefit the father. You know what it is actually? I'm going to say a Chiddush now. It's a reverse inheritance. Normally, how do you learn inheritance? The dead bequeath the living. The guy dies, and he leaves something to his son. Who's the recipient? The living. Here it's the opposite. Here the living bequeath the dead. By the way, I'm going to give you a remez now. That's probably why there's a nyan of Yerusha. What's the whole thing of Yerusha? Father dies, the kid gets money from him. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a system that the son, he just got something from his father, he inherited his father. That arouses the son to say, what? I have to reciprocate. My father just was, I was Yoresh, my father. Now I have to be Morish, my father. How can you be Morish? Your father, he's dead. Make tikkun. How do I know what to do? Just be a good boy. It'll happen automatically. You don't have to be a prophet. The opportunity will arise. The Yerusha that the father gives the son is to arouse the son, give back something to your father. How? It's almost as if the father's paying the son. Hey, I gave you Yerusha, do me a favor. I gave you a watch, I gave you a pen, I gave you a few dollars. Don't forget me. Al-Shalishim Bal-Dibbi'im. Mordechai can fix Shaul. And he's fixed. Oh. That's the case. Listen to a Gemara. A very interesting Gemara. The Gemara is in Yoma. Yoma Dav Chavbet. Very quickly. The Gemara says, Ben Shana Shaul Bemolcho. It was the first year of Shaul's kingdom. What does it mean, Ben Shana? Amar Avuna ke Ben Shana. He was like a one-year-old. What do you mean, like a one-year-old? Shelo ta'am ta'amchit. He didn't even taste the sin. He was like a one-year-old. But Kifle Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, comes Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, says, no, who told you? Ema ke Ben Shana shemiluchlach betito betzoa. Maybe it means he was like a one-year-old that was filthy dirty. Like a one-year-old, he soils himself. Wow. The first rabbi says, one-year-old clean.
Then the rabbi says, maybe he doesn't mean clean, maybe 1 year old dirty.
That
night Rav Nachman had a dream. What did he dream? The angels came in the dream and scared him. The boogeyman.
She doesn't say boogeyman. She says, Malachi Pahad.
Scary angels came and they scared him in the dream. So what happened? When he woke up in the morning,
Amar, Na'aneti lachem atzamot Shaul ben Kish.
Mechila, I offended you the bones of Shaul ben Kish. A funny statement, no? Na'aneti lecha atzamot Shaul ben Kish.
Anyway, what happened?
Hadar, he went back to sleep.
Haza,
Sifta b'chalma, he had the same nightmare. The boogeyman came back.
Amar, Na'aneti lachem atzamot Shaul ben Kish, Melech Israel.
He adds the word Melech Israel. What's going on in this Gemara? What do you mean? You think it was such a big mahlokit? One rabbi says Shaul was clean, he didn't have a sin, and the other rabbi says he's dirty? It can't be such a big mahlokit. We know Shaul was a tzaddik. How can one rabbi say? You know what the explanation is? Rav Nachman wasn't saying that Chas v'Shalom he did more sins. Everybody agreed he did the one sin. He kept Agag alive and took the animals. Everybody agrees that was the sin of Shaul. The first rabbi said he did the sin, but he left this world clean. He left the world clean. All Rav Nachman was saying, no. He was like a 1 year old that was dirty, which means just like a child cannot clean himself, he needs others to clean him. He left this world, he needed somebody else to make the tikkun for him. That's all he was saying. The tikkun had to be done by someone else. So that night, they scared him in the dream. Not because he was wrong, maybe because he said it too loud. So what does he answer back? He says, Mechila, Mechila, that I offended you. Atzamot Shaul. He says, because the whole reason why somebody can make the tikkun is because you give him the atzamot. You gave him the bones. Mordechai has the bones of Shaul. The father gives the bones. He says, that's what I was saying. Maybe I said something against your bones, Mechila. That's why he used the Lashon Atzamot. Because he was saying tikkun. By the way, what happened after Shaul made this mistake of not killing Agag and not killing the animals? God took away the kingdom. And after Mordechai fixed it, what does the next Basuk say? What happened to Mordechai? What did he become? He became the king, Mishneh Lamelech. The tikkun was done. Eventually the kingdom would come back. And that's why the rabbi says the next morning, Na'aneti lecha atzamot Shaul ben Kish, Melech Israel. The tikkun was done. I was right. You eventually became the king again. Shaul through Mordechai, Melech Israel. So he wasn't wrong in Rav Nachman. They scared him in the dream, maybe because the way he said it, because he didn't explain it. It wasn't understood. But the Maaseh was right. Oh. What does this have to do with Parashat Zachor? What does that do with Parashat Zachor? Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. Baderech besedechim in Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you. And therefore what? Once you remember, what do you have to do? V'haya v'ani Hashem Elohecha lecha mikol oyebecha mesaviv. When God will leave you from all your enemies. Erase the name of Amalek mitachat lashamayim, from under the heavens. Lo tishkach, don't forget this. Can I ask you a simple question? I understand all the words. Remember what Amalek did? And when God will alleviate you from all your enemies, and he brings you to the to the Nahala. What's the Sunda Pasuk? Where's the Humash? Bring the Humash, the Butai. Where's the Humash? Bring it right there. Take your time, Doctor. So the pasuk says, "Vaya b'nei Hashem olakel lakam kol yibich mesaviv ba'ares, in the land Hashem olakel otin lecha nahala that God will give you as an inheritance l'rishta." The machayet zecher amalek mitat hashamayim. Meskis, what do you mean mitat hashamayim? Of course, he's telling me where Amalek is. Oh, you should know, Rabotai, Amalek is mitat Hashemayim, he's under his heavens. Good. I don't have to take a rocket ship because he's in the heavens. Here you have to give me instructions, you have to give me Google Maps. Oh, mitat Hashemayim, skin mitzvot. Because if you didn't tell me this, I would have went to the Kennedy Space Center and I would have got a rocket ship and I would have looked for Amalek in Jupiter. What are you talking about? Of course, mitat Hashemayim. Where's Amalek? He's lemala min Hashemayim. I don't know, how do you learn these pesukim? You want the explanation? And then, Lotishkach what? You see, we have to read Amalek on Shabbat. But we don't have an obligation to kill Amalek today. We don't know who Amalek is. So it has to be a lesson for tomorrow. It has to be a lesson for today. So that doesn't want me to forget something now, for this year. The holy books write that Amalek not only is the physical Amalek, but Amalek represents the force of evil that's inside of everybody. Everybody has a little Amalek inside of them. I'm not going to get personal now with you. Everybody has demons inside of them that they fight with. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has, you call it the Yetzer Hara, call it whatever you want to call it. Everybody knows their challenges. That's why the pasuk says, "Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek." I'm talking to you, lecha, each individual. Rabbi, I never saw Amalek before. I didn't live 10,000 years ago. I'm living in the no, lecha. Yeah, you know Amalek. You know Amalek's inside of you. Where you're struggling with this. And then the pasuk says, "Va'ata ayefe yageya." Sometimes the person struggles his whole life with Amalek, and he's worn out. Ve'lo yare Elohim, he cannot conquer it. And you know what ends up happening? He leaves the world. Ve'nakeh lo yinakeh. He leaves the world, and Amalek inside of him was not yet fixed. And where is the guy now? Va'yabaniyah Hashem elohecha lecha. God rests you where? Ba'ares asher Hashem Elohecha notin lecha nahala l'rishta, in the land called Olam Haba. Ba'ares asher Hashem notin lecha nahala l'rishta. Now the guy's in Shamayim, but he still has Amalek inside of him. Now it's too late. So the pasuk says, no. Temche et zecher Amalek. You could erase Amalek. Mitachat l'shamayim. Even though you're in the Shamayim, you can erase it beneath you. How? Through your children. And you know what the pasuk comes and tells us? Therefore, don't forget that. Lo tishkach. Don't forget that your actions have ramification on those that preceded you. And therefore, don't forget to raise your children in the Torah way, because your actions are going to be rectified by those that come after you. Therefore, don't forget to raise your children in the Torah proper way, because you're able to erase Amalek mitachat l'shamayim. Even though you're in the Shamayim, you're still able. How? Al shilishim v'al ribbeim. The fourth is able to fix the third. Mordechai is able to fix Shaul. Oh, that's a good lotishkach. The Gemara says, "Kol mi she'eno maniyah ben liyorsho, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitmale alav evra." Anybody that doesn't leave a son that he inherits to, God gets angry at him. What do you want from the guy? What do you want from him? It's not his fault. He didn't have a son, or he doesn't have money. The explanation is, anyone that doesn't leave over a son that can inherit him, which means that he didn't teach his children Torah for the reverse inheritance, that the guy's in Shamayim and he needs a tikkun, and his children are deadbeats. His children are delinquent. Why? Because he didn't give them yeshiva education, he didn't teach them Torah. Now he's stuck, he's looking down in Shamayim. Nobody's there. The guy gets angry at him. He says, "You fool! You didn't set yourself up. Don't forget this. And don't think I'm exaggerating. I said this shiur last night in Muncie. I don't know why they invite me to Muncie, Tibaj. There's so many rabbis over there, but they invited me. Maybe all the rabbis had a wedding or something. They invited me to say Dirash in Muncie. It's like inviting a rabbi to Bnei Berak to say Dirash. I never understand why they invite me, these guys. But I go. So I said the Dirash, and there's a guy sitting in front of me the whole time. He's like this with his head. He's shaking his head. Comes to me after the shiur, he says, "You're not going to believe it." He says, "I'm listening to this concept. Shilishim Rebbeim tells me how his grandfather passed away a few months ago. And he's named after his grandfather. His grandfather came to him in a dream the other night and started giving him instructions. So when I told my family about it, they said, 'Shtuya, dream. Come on, Yosef HaSadiq, have dreams.' And the truth of the matter is, you're right, most dreams really we don't pay too much attention to." But he was giving me clear instructions. And now that I'm thinking, it was certain things that unfortunately my grandfather wasn't able to accomplish in his life. And look at this, he came down and he's telling me, "Handle it, fix it." He says, "It's emet, Rabbi, what you're saying. That the sin of the grandfather is not the grandson's held accountable, but the grandson has an opportunity to undo it." And he says, "You relieved me tonight." I said, "Okay, I didn't know because you're holding your head. It didn't look like I relieved you." Oh, if that's the case, I'll leave you with this. I'll give you a rule. Whenever you're speaking, the people always remember the last thing you said. It's hard for them to remember everything. How do I know? When I just became a rabbi, I used to announce Mincha is 4:15, and then I would announce 10 more things. And always after I would finish, say, "Rabbi, what time is Mincha?" They forget. So now I learned, I always announce Mincha the last. So everybody knows what Mincha is. People remember the last thing. So you always have to organize your speech. The thing at the end, that's the thing it's going to stick. So we read 10 chapters in Megillat Esther. What's going to stick? The last pasuk. And not only the last pasuk, the last words. Ki Mordechai Yehudi. Interesting. Mordechai Yehudi. Don't forget, there's only a Mordechai because there was a Yehudi, because there was David HaMelech. David was wise when he didn't kill Shimei. David knew that he's got the Yemini in him. Therefore he said, "Hold off, my son Shlomo will take care of him." Mishneh LaMelech Ashverosh. He became the king. He made the tikkun. He became the viceroy of the king. He got the kingdom back. Gadol Yehudim. No question, he was great for the Jews. Ratzui L'Rov Ehav. He was accepted by the majority of his brothers. Doresh Tov La'amo. He was an advocate for his nation. But you know what the last words remind you of? V'dover Shalom L'chol Zar'o. What Mordechai was able to do was, he was able to make peace to his zera, to his family. Shalom means shalem. The great accomplishment of Mordechai is that he was able to make Shaul whole again. V'doresh shalom, v'dober shalom lechol zar'o. Not only was Mordechai able to fix himself in his life, but he was able to fix those that preceded him. And he was able to raise a family that eventually, would whatever he had outstanding, would be able to perpetuate it as well and fix it. V'dover shalom. His item was that you could be a man that could make shalom. You could make things whole again. L'chol zar'o. Those that precede him and those that come after him. And on this, the Megillah says, Lo tishkach. The Torah says, don't forget this. This is a musar haskel. You're not living for yourself. In Shamayim, there's a lot of relatives that you have that are rooting for you. Don't mess up. This is not your golden moment. This is my golden moment. Do it for me. Aseh lema'anak, aseh lema'ani. Therefore, we have great responsibility. Furthermore, we have a great responsibility to make sure that we set ourselves up through our children. Not only so we can give them some goodies after 120, but so they'll be able to give us the goodies. Not so the dead can bequeath the living, so the living can bequeath the dead. And it works, and that's what the Torah says. You're able to get rid of the Amalek that's within you, Mitahat l'shamayim. Even though you're in the Shamayim and Amalek is down there, your sin was done on earth. You're not there anymore, but your bones are there. That's the Atzamot. And this is the great lesson that we learn from the beginning. Every year there's another lesson that jumps out. This is the lesson of the Tikkun. And that's what the Pasuk meant. Poked avon avot. It's not a bad thing. God says the children have the opportunity. And what's the proof? Al Shilishi v'al Rebi'i. The story of the fourth episode of Amalek was the tikkun of the third episode. Mordechai is the tikkun of Shaul. V'dover shalom lechol zar'o. Shabbat shalom u'purim sameach.